Well, Father, we truly do thank you for all that came out to sit in your house tonight. I thank you, Father God, that your word is yes and amen, and you are leading and guiding and directing your church to the place that you need it to be in this given hour. I thank you, Father, for the works that you began during praise and worship, and I know you're going to complete those works by the time we leave. And Father, take us to a new height in you tonight. Take us to that place where we sit in heavenly places and hear your voice and your voice only. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight I want to talk about freedom from roots. Now remember that we are still talking about entering into our destiny. And God is informing us of what we need to do to enter into that destiny and to do all the things that he's calling us forth to do. This morning he taught us about he wants us to walk in signs and wonders and miracles. He taught us about faith to raise the dead. If we can just tap into that, I think that will give us enough faith and encourage us to keep going forth to do the great mighty works he's calling us forth to do. Tonight we need to allow God's holy justice to deal with everything that is robbing us of who we really are in Christ. Tonight we need to allow God's holy justice to deal with everything that is robbing us of who we really are in Christ. God wants to free us from roots of iniquity. And Matthew 3:10 says, "And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." God is going after our roots. He is laying his axe to the roots. But we need to understand that the Lord just doesn't go after the root. He replaces it with something holy. Romans 11:16 says, "For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches." See that? If the root is holy, so are the branches. Who's the branches? We are the branches, right? Jesus is the root. So if he's holy, then we have to be holy also. Tonight, every true child of God needs to allow the Lord to get rid of roots in your life that are sources of unholy gates. And you want him to replace those unholy gates, with gates that are plugged into the root of his spirit. You want him to replace those unholy gates with gates that are plugged into the root of his spirit. God wants his people to be deeply rooted in him in the oil of the Holy Spirit. God has been calling us for quite some time to walk in the Spirit, get totally and completely saturated in the Spirit. And I keep praying that God just comes by and just pours a whole flask of oil over each and every one of us, so we will be rooted and grounded in the Spirit, drowned in the Spirit, and the enemy will have no place in us. Right? Iniquity and curses are those things that you find yourself rendered powerless against. Iniquity and curses are those things that you find yourself rendered powerless against. The Lord wants his people free. And his statement is, "I love you too much to leave you in any condition but the best." God loves us too much to leave us in any condition but the best. And Psalm 65:4 and 5 says, "Blessed is a man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds and righteousness you will answer us, O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas." Now the psalmist here says, blessed is the man you choose, you know, God chooses, and cause to approach you, in other words, cause you to draw near to God, that he may dwell in your courts. God's drawing you to him so you can dwell in the courts of heaven. I didn't say courtroom. I said in the courts of heaven continually. The phrase awesome deeds in righteousness means acts of justice that we just read there. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation. So the phrase awesome deeds and righteousness means acts of justice. When God's people hear the word spirit of judgment, they want to turn and run, or they get mad at God. Here you go, judging me again. We need to understand that the burning fire, the spirit of burning, the spirit of judgment is not what you are thinking it is. In reality, the body of Christ should invite the spirit of burning and the spirit of judgment, because God's not coming to judge you. You have already been judged, and you have been found covered in His grace and favor. Now, what He's doing, saying here tonight, is He's not judging you. You've already been doing that. He's just trying to get us to another level in Him. All right? As a believer, you are free from guilt because of the blood of Jesus, and have right standing with Him through the cross. What He wants to judge is everything in your life that is ripping you off from knowing the fullness of your inheritance in the Lord. What He wants to judge is everything in your life that is ripping you off from knowing the fullness of your inheritance in the Lord. He wants you to do this because of 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." He wants to do this because we are His special, peculiar people. And He wants people to see that we are peculiar people. Because as they look upon us, they'll see His blessings working out of us. All right? Question, do you want to live your life to your kingdom fullness? And we all say amen to that, right? Inviting the spirit of burning or the spirit of judgment is really inviting God's holy justice to begin to deal with everything in your life that is robbing you of who you really are in Christ Jesus. How many of you ask God, "God, just get down in here and judge me. Bring up anything that's in me that's causing me not to walk in the fullness of who I am in you." If God's people really want revival, they need to rise up into the fullness of who they are in the Lord. Are you listening to this? If God's people really want revival, they need to rise up into the fullness of who they are in the Lord. If you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, revival will never begin in you, because the enemy will always be plaguing you with his little devices. And the revival has to start in us first, and then corporately we spread it throughout the nations. God is clothed with power, is He not, according to His word? Wouldn't you like to be clothed with fresh strength and power right now from God? You're fresh. Fresh strength and power. Wouldn't you like to put on a new suit of dunamis Holy Spirit power? A new suit. Then allow God to place His axe to the roots of iniquity. So tonight, I want you to say right now to yourself, "God, you take your axe and you just cut every root there is that is causing me to not walk in the fullness of who I'm supposed to be in you." 1 Corinthians 3:6 and 7 says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Paul said, "I planted," you know, he spoke the first word. Apollos watered, in other words, Apollos came after him and preached the word, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, so Paul said he's nothing because he did the planting, nor he who waters, so Apollos isn't anything, but God who gives the increase. We like to say, "Well, look at all the souls I saved." No, you just either watered, you either planted or you watered, and God came along and did the increase. All right? You know, you might meet, God might send somebody across your path and you witness to them, and they boo-hoo you and walk away. But the seed has been planted. Now, God used you to plant the seed. You didn't see Him saved, Him or saved, but you planted the seed. And then God sent them in front of somebody else who then watered that seed, you know, gave more word until they got saved. And this is how God works. God will water the seeds of the word that are in you, and the river of God will begin to flow out of you. God will water the seeds of the word that are in you, and the river of God will flow, begin to flow out of you. It is a full river, not just a little trickle, and it makes you full. You just want a little trickle of the Holy Spirit. You want the fullness of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And you want God to really water, soak those seeds in the watering of the Holy Spirit, so that whenever you do plant those seeds, they are going to take root and not rot and die. All right? Christ blesses us with abundant rivers of living water so that we will be a source of blessing to others. The rivers flow out of us to others who are thirsty. The world is a barren desert, and people are dying of Christ. See that? God needs you and I. He needs the body of Christ, before the Holy Spirit, the living waters, to go forth and pour out the seed that's already ready to grow. God does never put rotten seed inside of us. It is fertile seed that as you speak it forth, it will take root and grow. You and I are to be the rivers of living water that these dying people need. There is a generation spoken of in the book of Zechariah, and you should read this, it's really interesting, that plugs into the word and the anointing and walks in the ceaseless, perpetual flow of the rich, flourishing oil of the Holy Spirit. And you can walk in that same flow. There's a group of people that touched God and walked in the richness of all that God had for them. This is where the body of Christ should be today, but they're not. But we're not condemning. We're saying we can begin tonight to walk in that fullness of what God really wants for us. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When Jesus walked the earth, he was the only one who had the Spirit. His disciples did not. Once he went away, then the disciples received the Spirit. Because what did God say? What did Jesus say? God will give you another helper, which is the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus was baptized, what did the people see? It saw the dove, the Holy Spirit, falling upon Jesus. So he was the only one that was carrying the Holy Spirit at that point. And as I studied that, I got to thinking, well, then the disciples walked with him, and Jesus was doing all the healing, and he was doing doing all the miracles. And the disciples, at one time, they couldn't deliver the man. It was because God said, you need to fast and pray. But I also feel like it because they did not have the Holy Spirit. But because they walked with Jesus, the anointing was on them. All right? If you really read about some of the preachers that are out there, they traveled with well-known preachers who were highly anointed. Just like that young lady we watched, she was with Mother Teresa and somebody else, remember? And she received the anointing from them. So, you know, this is why you need to be careful who you're around. You could be around somebody who doesn't have any anointing, but little anointing you might have, they could steal. Or you could travel with anointed people, and then you would receive an anointing also. Ezekiel 47, verse 3. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water come up to my ankles. And we all know the scripture, but there's a purpose behind this. Again, this man measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. See, he went from ankle-deep water to water that you couldn't swim in. And this is what God has been trying to do with this body of Christ. I don't know what he's doing place else, but with this body of Christ, he's been trying to get us into the waters that are so deep that we can't swim. You know, like he told me, I'm going to put you in the water and put my foot on your neck until I drowned you. And that's fine with me. You know, I gave him permission to do that a couple years ago. And I think that's what we all need to do. We need to say, Father, put me in that river of waters that I can't swim in, and keep me there till I'm totally filled with your Holy Spirit and anointing and power. The man said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. And as I was typing this and reading it, I thought, well, God, I really believe what God's telling us here, that we are the river, and everywhere we go, everything is going to be healed. And in verse 9 it said, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river goes, will live. And I really believe that that is relating to us. Every place we go, anything that's dead is going to come alive. And you know, the stronger the anointing gets, the deeper the river inside of you gets, the stronger your anointing will be. You're going to be walking out here on the street, and just people are going to start falling out in the spirit and become alive because of the anointing that you're carrying. Well, it says there, and it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go, not one river, but rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish. There's a whole lot of people out there not saved, right? Because these waters go there, that's you and I, because we go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. And what is, I read that, what did God say to Peter? I will make you fisher of men. And see, this is what God is trying to do to us. He's trying to get us so deep in the river of the Holy Spirit anointing that he can make us fishers of men. And every place we go, people will be healed and delivered because of the anointing, the rich, deep, rich anointing that you carry. You know, God's taken us into our destiny. This is part of our destiny. Do you want to be that river? And see, it says rivers, so that's more than one. Wherever the rivers go, things will live. Do you want to be one of those rivers that God can use to heal? You know, healing covers a multitude of things. It's not a sickness. And then it says, their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. There's many fish out there that need to be brought into the house of God. Right? The river of God flows from the threshold of the temple. Jesus is our threshold, the carrier of the temple of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. Now, the river of God flows from the threshold of the temple. That's what we just read here, right? Now, Jesus is our threshold. He is a carrier of the temple of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. When Jesus hung on the cross, pierced in his side, it wasn't only blood that flowed out of him, but also water. And God told him one time, he said, daughter, never forget the water that flowed out of my son's side. And at that point in my walk with God, all I ever thought about was the blood that flowed. I never gave any thought to the water until God said, daughter, don't forget the water that also flowed out of his side. So that water is very important. All right, I said, when Jesus hung on the cross, pierced in his side, it wasn't only blood that flowed out of him, but also water. We can flow freely with that water once God lays the axe to our iniquities. Once God lays the axe to our iniquities. ask God for the river to flow in and out of your life right now. I'm going to give you a few minutes. Just sit there and ask God to allow that river to flow in and out of your life. You know, I'm hearing God say, you have not because you ask not. And then when you ask amiss. But he said, tonight, as you ask me to allow that river to flow in and out of you, I will hear and I will cause it to transpire. Now, Psalm 65, verse 11 says, you crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. We need to understand that as we walk with the Father in a very intimate way, that the honey that He has will drip on us, and we will walk in the abundance of the anointing, and we will go forth rejoicing as God has told us to. I don't know why, but all weekend there's been a rejoicing in the spirit realm. And you know, God is excited. Something's getting ready to happen because God is excited. Not something bad, but something good's getting ready to happen. And you just can't help but feel the excitement in the air. Now, we need to grab hold of that excitement in the air and tell God you want to be with Him. And whatever this excitement is, you want to be part of. All right. Question, are you looking for breakthrough? If you haven't seen it, then get revelation of the blood of the atonement and of the name of Jesus. If you haven't received your breakthrough yet, if you haven't seen it, then get revelation of the blood of the atonement of the name of Jesus. Because when you do, you will see that Jesus already did all of the work for you, and then God will drop favor into your wilderness. This is a problem with the body of Christ. They don't understand what Jesus really did on the cross. They really don't understand the upper room experience, the day of Pentecost. They don't understand that. And so therefore they just walk through life willy-nilly thinking about nothing. They don't understand the fullness of the Godhead. They don't understand the importance of walking close to the Father and walking in the anointing of God so God can use them to do great signs, wonders, and miracles. You in here tonight, each one of you, you need to be a vessel of honor that God can work through. And I hear the word conduit again. He used that this morning because that is the only way He can work is through people. Now, we know God can do anything He wants to do, but He desires to work through His people. Why do you think Satan uses people the way he does? Because he imitates God. You allowed Satan to use you. So why don't we just switch here a little bit and allow God to use you? Satan gave you nothing but trouble. In God, he just wants to do nothing but bless. But what he wants to do is use your vessel to bless others. And see, the problem is we want us to be blessed. But we're dead to self, right? We're down here on assignment, right? And the assignment is to win souls. It's not so we can be blessed. It's not so we can walk in all the riches of the world. God does want us blessed, but everybody's looking for the riches of the world. Everybody's looking for recognition, but that's not what it's all about. It's all about being a vessel of honor that God can work through to do a great and mighty works in this nation, to win the souls that are out there wandering around not believing in anything. But then the body of Christ doesn't believe in anything most of the time either. The body of Christ just walks to and fro. And this is why the world doesn't want what you have, is because you don't have nothing. You know, I'm talking about the church as a whole. The church doesn't have anything. They don't walk in joy. You know, they don't walk in the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, you don't have to have monies and all that kind of stuff to be happy. You just have to be happy. I mean, I know we need money to live, but you know, if we just really get ourselves engrossed in God, He will take care of us. He really will. And then you can walk around in happiness knowing that God is your Father. All right, I said, your path will drip with abundance and God will drop favor on your wilderness. Now, this is a year that God has brought his people out of the wilderness. Hasn't he said that? God has said, no more wilderness. God has taken your shame and given you double honor. Instead of confusion, he will give you peace and a double portion of the land of your inheritance. His grace will get you into your land of inheritance. No more wilderness. No more going back. God keeps telling me, he said, daughter, the enemy has no more power or authority over you. And the only way that the enemy cannot have any more power and authority over me is if I walk in that knowledge. I can say, well, but God. No, no but God about it. The enemy has no more power or authority over me or any one of you sitting in here. It's your body. It's your life. God's told you that the enemy can't touch you, then you let the enemy know that you believe that. All right? And the enemy knows if you're just blowing words out there, and he knows whether or not you really believe what you're saying. I'm hearing God say the enemy wants to disgrace you, that God wants to bless you abundantly. But there's too many yielding their bodies still to the enemy, because they cannot be the truth of God's word. So don't you be one of those. Now, you can break through. You know why? Because grace is an endowment. It is a supernatural endowment of the power, energy, and favor of God. Grace is. God working on your behalf. God is busy on your behalf. And believe me, how many of you know tonight that God is really busy working on your behalf? You know that. You know that you know that you know that you know that. Because the enemy has taken you down every dark road he can take you down. But God has brought you into the, kept you in the light. All right? So just as busy as the enemy's working against you, God is that busy working for you. Psalm 5 verse 12 says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Now, if we could believe the word, we would be an entirely different group of people. The psalmist says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. These psalmists lived life, and they knew what God did for them, and they put it in the Bible. God allowed the Holy Spirit to put it there. So we have to start believing what the Bible tells us. Grace gets you to the land, but favor keeps you in your inheritance. Grace gets you to the land, but favor keeps you in your inheritance. Favor causes even those who don't like you to act on your behalf to do things for you. And Psalm 23:5 tells us that God sets a table in the presence in the midst of your enemies. People will wonder and say, I don't know why I'm doing this. It is because God will stir the hearts. And I'm working with this right now. There's a couple people that I don't want to do things for, and I find myself gushing all over them and doing all kind of good things. Why am I doing this? I'm upset with them. It's God's grace and God's mercy. Are you understanding this? So if you find yourself being really super nice to somebody, really super bad to you, then it's God's grace and God's mercy, and God's trying to win them over. He's not trying to push them away, but he's trying to win them over. Do you believe that Jesus really had no feelings whatsoever? Do you really believe that there wasn't things that bothered him? Why do you think he made his unbelieving disciples stay behind while he went to the mountain? How many of you feel sometimes, I don't have, God, I have nobody I can talk to? And he says, this is what I've been saying lately. He said, what about me? So God's made it so that he's the only one I can go to and talk to, because everybody else is acting a little bit stupid about things, right? So God is saying, come to me and talk to me, because I know all things. And this is what we have to do. All right, the atonement says, I will not only wash you of your sins, but I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm not only going to loose you from your iniquity and transgression, but I'm going to make you a marvel in the land. When I look at some of you and I think, and all the things God says to you, I say, God, are you blind? I do. I have. I do. So what did I say there? The atonement says, I will not only wash you of your sins, but I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm not only going to loose you from your iniquity and transgression, but I'm going to make you a marvel in the land. Believe me, every now and then you're a marvel in my eyes. You and I hear, when I hear what God says to you, and I know you, but hear what God says to you, I say, okay, God, I'm glad you're God and I'm not. And then I pray for you that you'll fulfill the destiny that God just spoke over your life, no matter what you're going through at the present time. All right? Do you have things in your life you just want to get free of? Remember, the Lord is going after the roots of iniquity in your lives. We don't need to be afraid to invite the spirit of burning and judgment to come. We need him to come so that the Lord will render a judgment on your behalf. Do you have things in your life you just want to get rid of? We can all say amen to that. Remember, the Lord is going after the roots of iniquity in your lives. We don't need to be afraid to invite the spirit of burning and judgment to come. We need him to come so that the Lord will render a judgment on your behalf. We need this. We need this axe tonight. And if you don't allow God to do that, well, then you're not going to be any good for God. You're not ever going to fulfill your destiny. So let God come with that axe and chop everything out there that doesn't belong there. And God is going to call whatever it is that is ripping you off guilty. Whatever's in you that's causing you to, God is going to call it guilty. And he's going to pluck it out. He will bring reversal or restoration of things that have been robbed from you. God has been speaking that to me over and over and over again. Now we have to believe that. God will bring reversal or restoration of things that have been robbed from you. Now, remember, in the atonement, he doesn't just put a Band-Aid over your problem. He goes against it and plucks it out. He totally destroys it. You will find out that you are not going to have to wage battle against some of the things you have been waging battle against anymore, because you have been trying to pull and deal with the roots yourself. You are not able to pull them out, but God is well able to deal with the roots. And this is where a lot of people are at. When you guys do deliverance, you say, why can't we get them free? It's because they're trying to deal with the roots, and it's only God that can deal with the roots and pull them out. All right? And until they're able to give it to God and let him pull them out, they're going to stay bound. And I'm not speaking that into existence. That is a fact. See, we're so afraid to speak the truth because, after all, we're speaking something negative. But, you know, facts are facts, and truth is truth. And if people don't know the truth of what they're doing, how can they change? How can they let go and let God take his axe and cut that root where it can't ever grow again? Now, remember, you need to understand that when you begin to say, Lord, help me, I want everything out of me, out of my life, and then you say, where is all this coming from? What is this and what is that? In other words, when God starts pulling this junk up, you say, where did this come from? I didn't know that was in there, right? And then you don't want to be embarrassed. Then you try to push it all back down, because you don't want that thing to come up, because then people are going to know what's in there. Don't push it all back down. Just get rid of it. Say, God, just use your big old axe and chop that thing out of there. You know, why are you embarrassed anyhow? A lot of junk that's in you is generational. And you know, you didn't know it was in there, but God knew it was in there, and God knows it has to come out. You know, there's something, you know, that I'm dealing with, and God says, until the parent breaks a generational curse, the child is going to stay in bondage. And the parent won't break that the parent won't get out of the sin and break that generational curse. And so now the child is going deeper and deeper into bondage because of the parent not wanting to admit to anybody that they have a problem. That's a sin against your children. You shouldn't do that. You then need to ask the Lord, what is the root? You know, instead of pushing it down, you need to say, what is the root? Because you don't want the root anymore. In Romans 11:16, This describes transference of character so that it is no longer you but Christ who lives in you. Plug yourself into the Holy Spirit in such a way that you become a partaker of His divine nature, not your old nature. What a transfer. What an awesome thing to have His river flow out of our lives to deliver others also. To be hope to the hopeless, strength to the feeble, in Romans 11:13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. Now let's go back there before we go any further, and let's read that again in Romans 11:16. Romans 11:16-17. This describes transference of character, so that it is no longer you, but Christ who lives in you. In other words, when you allow God to come in, cut those roots, then it's no longer you living, but it's Jesus lives inside of you. The roots are all gone. Plug yourself into the Holy Spirit in such a way that you become a partaker of His divine nature, not your own nature. In other words, invite the Holy Spirit to come in all of His fullness, and then walk in the Spirit. And anytime you feel your flesh rising up, tell the flesh, no, you no longer live. It's Christ that lives within me. And I'm no longer going to walk in the flesh, but I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and I'm going to receive all the divine revelation that God wants me to have, and I'm going to be the anointed child of God that He's called me for to be, period. Devil, get out of here. Amen. What a transfer. What an awesome thing to have His river flow out of our lives to deliver others also. To be hope to the hopeless, strength to the feeble. Then we'll go to Romans 11:13 again. Paul says, for I speak to you Gentiles. Who's he speaking to? It wasn't church. I speak to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. See, God called Paul at the end to minister to the Gentiles, not to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. All the disciples were ministering to the Jews, right? Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. Today, God is preparing his body to be disciples to the Gentiles, the unsaved world. Do you understand this? When I was reading about Paul, God just told me, he said, you are now disciples going out and speaking to the Gentiles to bring them in. The church has been spoken to a long time. 40 years, as far as I know, and even longer than that. And God said he was shaking the dust of the church off his feet, and he was going to go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. And he's been trying to get you people geared up so he can send you. You were the ones he wants to send you out in the highway and the byway and compel them to come in. It's you he wants to use. Please don't let some unsaved person walk into the church and God immediately clean them up and give them your mantle. And he can do that, you know. And he's running out of time. He told me the other night, I'm running out of time. And the more I study and the more God talks to me, I know we are really close to the end times. And things are starting to wind down. And we have to be about the Father's business. It's crucial that we're about the Father's business. So I said, don't you want to live out of this ever-flowing river of God? Right now, I want you to sit there and ask the Lord to unleash this in you right now, that ever-flowing river of God. All right, here's a prayer. Thank you, Father, for plucking them out of the fire. You will not leave any of your children in a bound condition, but you will take off their old clothes and give them clean linens, according to Zechariah 3. Thank you that you also say you will put a new turban on their head, which is a new way of thinking. They are leaving the old things and stepping into the new right now. So is that what you're doing? You're leaving the old things. You're stepping into the new right now. And you want that river of living waters to flow through you. And let it, wherever you go, it'll touch the trees on every side of you. And everything will live and not die any longer. The world is in a death grip of the enemy. And with all the people who are dying with this virus, the enemy's taking everybody he can at this time. If the church would have been where they should have been, we wouldn't be at the place we're at right now. I'm asking each one of you to become very, very more serious than ever before about your walk with God. I want you to be a conduit that God can work through. I don't care where you go. You know what you should do every morning you get out of bed, you who go to work, you should say, Father, I want to be that conduit that you can work through today. That no matter where I go, I don't have to say nothing. just no matter where I go, somebody's life is going to be touched. Remember, I told you, the people used when I worked, they used to come and just sit at my desk, in a chair head by my desk, because I worked with students. And they would just sit there. Didn't say a word, I didn't say a word. They just said there was something about my office and that chair, they just wanted to sit in it. It was the anointing, and they wanted that anointing, but didn't understand it. And I would prophesy to some of them, but they didn't understand prophecy, and they didn't understand how I knew what I knew. But, you know, it was always God speaking into their lives. It did change some of their lives. And this is what God wants to do with you, wherever you're working, in your workplaces. Instead of just being another person in that building, you need to be a child of God with the living waters running through you, that God can just open your mouth and give them a prophetic word, or just being there, their whole life will change because the anointing that's flowing through you. Are you listening to me? You know, since people are cooped up in their homes, and there are all kind of things are surfacing, you know, that's going on. It's all bad stuff. It's nothing good. And so I think it's time that the body of Christ does the right thing, and we have those rivers of living water flowing through us so that God can use us to stop this mess that's going on. It's way past time for the body of Christ to take their positions. We've sat around way too long just saying, well, that's none of my business. It is the church's business, because we are, God is a church, right? And we individually make up the church, do we not? Then it's God's business, so it's our business too, and God needs somebody to work through to bring us all to naught. And the river of living water that flows through you is what is going to cause it to happen. God said, as you get your breakthrough, you will bring that breakthrough to the world. And he's telling me that there's so much of the world in the church. And so wherever you go, you know, I don't care if it's in a church, a workplace, where it's at, that anointing, that river of living water that's flowing through in you should pour out of you automatically, supernaturally, and touch the lives of those people, and their lives are going to change. I just wish the young people could grasp hold of this, because what I'm hearing with what's going on with the young people right now is terrible. They're getting deeper and deeper into gross, dark sin. And there's nobody out there really that can speak hope into these young kids, because they don't see it in their homes. And so they think there is no hope. They think there is no God even. But if they need to see God in you, you know, they need to feel the anointing in you. And they need to see the supernatural flowing out of you. I'm just seeing so many kids that even come from godly homes that are being lost. They're in, you know, and God told me, he said, you have not seen darkness yet. He says, this land is going to become gross darkness and more gross darkness and more gross darkness till it's totally dark. He said, you have not seen anything yet. So what we do see, we think is terrible, right? But it's just the beginning. I'm hearing God say the beginning of the end. So are you ready? Are you ready? I'm hearing God say, I don't want you to be a substitute teacher either. I want you to be the teacher. And I want to be able to send you forth to teach my people about my son Jesus. Are you ready? Then as you sit there tonight, I just want you to just yield yourself to God right now. And just let him pour that anointing over you that will cause the rivers to rise with inside of you and take you over. And I'm hearing God say, and we know the scripture, eye has not seen nor ear heard what God is about to do in this land. And the enemy is throwing everything he has at us, you know, at the world, period. But God said he has his angelic host positioned to send them forth to stop what the enemy is trying to do. I'm going to ask you a question. with everything that's going on, have you, and you answer this to yourself, have you really learned anything about what's already going on in the world? Have you really thought about where this could all end up at? Have you really thought about how many lives will be destroyed because of this? Because people are not understanding. And God doesn't have anybody to send to them to teach them. And so they're just sitting there just believing every lie that they, everything they hear, they believe it. I don't know about you, but I don't even want to read the news at all anymore about nothing. Because there's no truth in the news anymore. But see, we should be the news carriers. We should have so much anointing in us that when we start talking to people, it won't be what they've heard from the news. It'll be what you've heard, you're hearing right at that moment from the Father, and the Father speaking the truth into the people. And I'm hearing God saying, anointing is really strong right now, that He's calling you tonight to be a light, a bright light in a dark, dark world, a light that the enemy cannot flush out. Now, if you want to be that light, just allow God right now to anoint you to carry that bright light that will stop all the darkness. And God said to tell you, yes, we know that certain things have to come to pass because it's written in His Word. But there's things out there that are happening that we, as children of God, can stop as we stand close to the fire and allow God to speak through us. You know, there's too many in the government that all of a sudden their power has gone to their head, and they're using that power against God's will. And we need to understand, we need to have God speak to us and tell us about this, who it is. And you and pray that God stops them in their tracks so that they don't do the damage that they intended to do. And now I hear God say there's a lot of freeloaders in the house of God. They don't want to pay the price. They just want to ride on your coattail. But God said He's not going to allow that. Anybody He uses from this point on is going to have to pay the price. You're going to have already gone the extra mile. And you're going to have to be one that sold yourself out totally and completely to the Father and say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Wouldn't you love to be able to go up into heaven and sit and talk to the Father and just really have Him explain what He's even doing with your life? I mean, you know what you're doing, but I don't know about you, but I would just really love to sit. I'm hungry and thirsty to sit at the Father's feet and say, God, I know what I've been doing, but how are You doing this? What is the purpose for all this? I just need to hear from Him because I have some questions about what's going on. Do you? I hope you do, because if not, then you're partially dead. See, there should be something in you that's so interested in what God's doing with your life. Because what He's asking you to do seems so weird and so far out, far-fetched, that you just want to know, Father, just what is this all about? And I just feel like He wants us to get that hungry. And I just, because I don't know about you, but I'd just like to be right now, be taken up there and just sit at the Father's feet and just talk to Him. There's something in me that's not content anymore with sitting down here and talking to Him. I want to go up there and talk to you. Go up there and talk to Him. Others have, at least they say they have, and I believe it when they say it. And God, why not me? You know, each one of us say, why not me, God? You have me out here doing this stuff, but why can't I come up there and sit at Your feet and talk to You? Took me to hell willingly. But I don't know. There's just something burning inside of me that says, you need to come higher. You need to go up there and sit at the feet, and you need to see what other people saw. You need to go up there and visit all your old friends and family. And I hope that's stirring inside of you tonight. I hope that I've even made something come up in you that said, you know what, that's a good idea. It would be so wonderful to go up there and sit and hear it straight from the Father's mouth. We have faith and we believe, yes. Believe me, I have faith. But there's just something, and I know God's doing this, drawing me to that place where I can sit up. I said the other night, now I don't want to die, God, to do this, but I so want to come and sit at your feet and just have you teach me personally one-on-one. Wouldn't you? Come on. Are you God's servant? Then serve him with all of your heart from the very depth of your being. And let him put the axe to the root. And let's just get rid of all the junk, all the disunity, whatever it is. And let's just be true children of God, walking in the light that God wants us to walk in.